Welcome today to our interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with John Oxley, leading multi-award-winning International Technology Authority and executive. John will share his views on growing a strong and capable ICT workforce, plus some additional tips and lessons. John, you have a diverse background of long success leading national and international initiatives and teams. Thank you for sharing your deep insights and experiences with our audience.
Hi, Stephen. I've been looking forward to this conversation. I really believe we have a passionate ICT workforce in Canada, and I love doing what we can to help support it.
Can you outline the leveling and disruptive forces in the current environment and why this matters?
Stephen, it's actually a quite interesting time in the ICT workforce. We're seeing which was core for me back in the 70s and 80s, where individuals went through computer science and it was very formalized, rigid training to get into IT, to now when entry into IT comes at some of the earlier levels right out of high school, or we've seen some young adults startups right out of university or even in high school. There's a 15-year-old gentleman in northern Toronto who has become an expert in PHP. The accessibility, the friction-free access to IT has really made IT more pervasive, and that's probably clear individuals in their lives about what they do day in, day out. But the one thing that we see really core when you think about the core ICT world out there is change. The biggest challenge we see across the country is you have a large amount of people that went through the training. So they're sitting about 35 to 58 years old, and they're living in a world where if they happen to be in a fast-paced organization, they're feeling like they're left behind. They can't keep up with what's going on. If they're in a fast-paced organization, they just can't keep up with what's going on. Technology comes down the line, and they don't know which one to pick, and they're so afraid of making the wrong decision because organizations like mine, Microsoft, keeps evolving and changing technology in response to the consumer and customer need. Now, other organizations who might be a large, slower to adopt organization, some of the larger banks in this organization, are delivering services and what they need and not keeping up with the dynamic, fast-paced change of IT. And that ICT professional in that organization is feeling left behind. They have to go individually to their own time and start learning. And we're actually seeing that a lot more, where people are creating their own website companies on the side, doing a lot more individual ICT learning to keep up their skills to drive what they need in the marketplace. And both of those impacts are leading us to an organization and to an IT workforce that might not have all the skills that we need to deliver on what's going to come in the future ICT needs.
I see. So then I guess this sort of applies to this idea of a gap. And we hear that term being used. So what does this mean? And where are the gaps? And what are the causes of these gaps?
There's a general belief, and if you look at some of the great work that Shane Schick at IT World has done on this topic, and just from a more people crowdsourcing perspective, is there enough IT people in the workforce? Is there not enough IT people in the workforce? That's probably a really great question, because if I do a job posting, I don't have a problem getting resumes. I actually have a problem getting resumes for the right skills required for the job. And I don't think it's a problem with individuals who don't want to get the job. I think there's a fundamental shift that has happened in ICT. Now that we've got the application of IT more in the business world, it's created a gap between the knowledge of how to implement and operationalize IT, where I'd say 70% of our workforce is, to where how do we put the application of IT in place, and how do we invent or create on top of that application of IT to further our business requirements. The more that IT has become a core tenant in enabling the business, the more that this gap between enabling IT and operationalizing IT has separated. We have a lot of people in Canada who can actually implement and operational IT. Where we really need a lot of people is how do we get the application and innovation built on top of IT to make sure it's serving the right business needs. I think there's really three causes in these gaps. One is done by the IT vendors. Change happens as normal market disruptive forces, more needs in the marketplace, and you can see the iPhone, Google's Android phone, mobile computing, net computing, cloud computing. As the needs of a company keeps evolving, technology providers actually have to adapt. But the challenge, the second issue for the gap, is most individuals do their biggest amount of education probably from age 7 to 23 at the most, and they spend a lot of time immersing themselves in the core tenets of IT. And in conversation with you before, Stephen, so a lot of people have went in and learned about programming languages and how to develop, where I think some of the feedback from surveys in the U.S. is that programming only represents 30% of the jobs within IT, where if I think about being a developer, that's probably a large percentage of jobs. In Canada, we have about 800,000 people who are in the ICT workforce, of which there's probably about just over 200,000 that are core developers that create and design software each day, but I'm not sure how many of those are actually day-to-day programmers. A lot of them look at the application of technology, so they're having to adapt new skills, and when they did their core learning and went to school, went to computer science, went to even business economics to get in, they're at a place right now where they have to do some more fundamental learning, and we just don't have the support ecosystem in Canada to help them in that area. Now, the last part of the gaps is this country is so vast and not fair. If I happen to be in Winnipeg, there are only so many jobs with focus at so many technologies. I've got Investors Group, Great West Life, Wawanisa, I've got the government. And because the supply of jobs in that area and the demand of skills is different than somewhere else, where you got Waterloo, Kitchener-Waterloo area, where I'm sure the skills they need are the latest and greatest right now. We've got a large percentage of startups, and the same with downtown Toronto. So gap really means is the gaps to deliver on the core business needs of IT, and there are three areas, just to review, that I think are the big ones, and one is the fast change of technology, our learning capability and support within the ecosystem, and the last part is Canada has a diverse economy. Supply and demand is mismatched in some areas.
So where do you see the opportunities, and how can we leverage them?
I see some huge opportunities in Canada, and we've seen this actually with some of the trades. I think it was in the early 90s. A lot of the labor forces and trades who build houses and did carpentry started to connect and bring people together and focus the industry more on education and balance the bringing new people in, sharing skills from people with more experiences, and having industry support with education, have government support with education. Right now, we have a lot of support from a government perspective when we think about retraining skills, getting somebody out of, if you happen to be in an automaker, out of GM and into some other organization, there's a lot of skills there. But what happens when an industry goes through a fundamental change that within that industry, we need to retool? I think that's a big opportunity. If we want to strike innovation, increase our productivity from our scorecard, the conference board scorecard in Canada, we need to think about how do we support retraining of our ICT workforce to meet the needs of the coming business in the future, whether it's cloud computing, mobile commuting, whether it's enabling a mobile workforce. We need to teach our force and give them that capability because we have one of the most professional workforce in the world when it comes to ICT. It's just how do we enable them? The second thing we need to do is we need to support organizations like KIPS, the Canadian Information Processing Society, ICTC, the Information Communications Technology Council of Canada, ACM, large organizations and education which actually connect the dots and bring them together. Right now there are a lot of initiatives that are going on in Canada which are disparate. And I'll use Women in IT as a great example. There's some phenomenal work done by Joanne Stanley and Wendy Colker in Ontario about women in getting women in IT to help create a stronger, diverse workforce. But then there's strong stuff going, and there are so many pockets of that type of environment across Canada. We need to get connect those dots, to get a diverse workforce, to try and get the retraining happening, and to support these national type of organizations through education to actually drive and do the good things that they do. And lastly, most importantly, and a lot what I see I do in my job is industry, whether it's the company who hires the person or whether it's the company that supplies the product or software vendor, needs to step up and provide resources, skills, training, whatever they can at a good cost, at an easy accessible a level, so that individuals can actually go out there and do the thing that they do best, bring the magic to the software, enable the business, and support their customers.
So how is Microsoft involved then in generating strategies and actionable programs?
So to go back to some of the opportunities, it's a big problem. You've seen that we struggle with how we can do it. We have a lot of programs, and I'll work from the bottom up, whether it's high school programs with DreamSpark enabling access to our tools at no cost for everybody from high school all the way up to when they leave university or college, running competitions and programs and activities like Dream Build Play, where it teaches students and allows individuals to build games and to build a new career, or the Imagine Cup, which is a program which allows students to show off what they've learned and give them recognition for that environment, to our ongoing MSDN and TechNet websites, where I'll be the first to say they're not very clear in how to find the training out of them, but having clear communities and supporting the technical professionals, whether developers or IT pro, where they go. And we need to go a lot more where they go. But those programs and activities and our whole learning environment, we have an organization which provides ongoing learning. And we think those are the biggest areas that from a broad Microsoft that we can do, supporting with certifications. In Canada, we've taken more of a grassroots perspective, partnering with the local user groups, community, whether it's a demo camp environment, whether it's a Windows user group, whether it's any type of user group, whether it's KIPS, working with ICTC, the community colleges, doing what we can to deliver a predictable set of education and training across the country. We do it in the form of some of our activities, our tech days, Energize IT. I have eight technical evangelists that go out and focus on advisory services across the country. And way that we measure success is actually by, well, Stephen, you know this. Have you ever got a survey from Microsoft that said how satisfied you are?
That's a good one.
Well, that's actually how we measure success in this area. And the number one feedback we've gotten from the survey is for people to be very satisfied as we provide them the right resources, the right services, and the right training so they can do their job. So we've taken this mantra in Canada and partnering with all those organizations, I said, how can we support the technical professional skills growth? So we focus it on how do we drive skills growth, how do we help support them make connections in their local area, and how do we actually help them manage change? So show them what's coming in a way that's consumable. There's a great gentleman, Richard Campbell, on the East Coast, who said, you don't need to know everything about what's new. You just need to know what you don't need to know.
John, those are great tips and lessons and recommendations as well. So, you know, I really thank you for coming in today to do this interview, and especially with your demanding schedule. Thank you for sharing your substantial wisdom with our audience.
It's my pleasure, Stephen, and I'd love to continue this conversation. And if any of your readers or listeners have any feedback on what we can do from a Microsoft perspective better, they just want to reach out and contact, please have them feel free to reach out to me directly at john.oxley@microsoft.com. I'm always willing to listen, and my whole team is willing to listen to see how we can help enable and support a capable, passionate ICT workforce in Canada. Thank you for the time, and I really appreciate this conversation.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview series with John Oxley, a leading multi-award-winning international technology authority and executive. And John shared his valuable views on growing a strong and capable ICT workforce.